Revelation chapter 5, verse 6. It is the first 6 of this chapter that we want to pay attention to as the Lord gives grace and help and the time afforded to us. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God, sent forth into all the earth. We have before us the Lord Jesus Christ, the second person of God's Trinity. Christ is here described by his place and station in the midst of the throne. He was on the same throne with the Father. You see, ministers stand between God and the people. Listen, Christ stands as mediator between God and both ministers and people. Before he is a lion, he appears as a lamb slain. He is a lion to conquer Satan and a lamb to satisfy the justice of God. He appears with the marks of his sufferings upon him. Stood a lamb as it had been slain, to show that he had interceded in heaven in the virtue of his satisfaction. He appears as a lamb, having 7 horns and 7 eyes. Perfect power to execute all the will of God, and perfect wisdom to understand it and do it in the most effectual manner. The Father put the book into his hand, the book of his eternal counsels into the hand of Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ readily and gladly took it into his hand, for he delights to make known the will of his Father, and the Holy Spirit, the third person of God's Trinity, is given by him to reveal the truth and will of God. And so we have before us a scene of great glory, a scene of great glory. We have before us a scene of great glory. You see, the central theme is the Lamb of God, as the central theme in all of the Bible is redemption. From page to page, from cover to cover, the Bible reveals him and teaches of him. That is the Lamb of God. And we have before us a scene of great glory, for it is he who is in the midst of the throne, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ, a lamb. A lamb as it had been slain. We see clearly in the midst of heavenly glory, in the midst of heavenly glory, that Christ crucified is still the prominent theme, is still the prominent theme, and redemption is heaven's song, and that the Lord Jesus Christ is the central object of true worship, and the Lamb of God is all the glory. And so we see, firstly, the Lamb's possession. The Lamb's possession. Verse 6, and I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. Here we are given heaven's testimony. Heaven's testimony that the Lamb of God is in the midst of the throne. That he alone is the central theme of true and perfect worship, and that the Lamb of God is all the glory in Emmanuel's land. And so that heaven itself centers upon Christ. As Samuel Rutherford said, heaven and Christ are the same thing. Heaven and Christ are the same thing, for to be with Christ is to be in heaven, and to be in heaven is to be with Christ. And my friend, just on that note, you who are unsaved in this meeting, my friend, if you're not with Christ here on earth, my friend, you wouldn't want to be in heaven. You wouldn't want to be in heaven if you wouldn't want to be with him on earth. Christ is the center of true worship. Of true worship. You see, the possession and the situation of the Lamb. Revelation chapter 5, verse 6. Lo, in the midst of the throne stood a Lamb as it had been slain. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. He stood being risen from the dead and ascended up into heaven, being the mediator between God and his church. He appeared before the throne for them as their advocate and stood ready to give them all the assistance and to do for them all the good he could. And this, his situation, may also denote that he is continually in view. That he is continually in view in heaven, in the sight of God, a lamb as it had been slain, because his precious blood, as the Holy Ghost calls it, precious blood, his blood within the field, sprinkled upon the mercy seat, for he himself being the mercy seat, he is always in sight. Always in sight, and calls for peace and pardon. And God the Father always looks upon him and to his righteousness. To his righteousness, his satisfaction, his sacrifice on account of his own people. On account of his own people. You know, the most wondrous truth. When Christ was here, he never did anything in isolation from his people. It was always on their behalf, for a people out of every nation, kindred and tongue. And so we have before us a scene of the greatest glory. And lo, in the midst of the throne stood a lamb as it had been slain. He holds the highest possession, both in heaven and in earth. In Revelation 14:1, you don't have to turn to it for time's sake, but it says this, "And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion." You see, the Apostle John was privileged. He was given that revelation. He was privileged to look within the gates of heaven, teaching us that the chief object of contemplation in the heavenly state is the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And you know what C.H. Spurgeon, he asked a question concerning this verse. He asked the question, why should our exalted Lord, appear in his wounds in glory? Why should our exalted Lord appear in his wounds in glory? Well, the wounds of Jesus. That is Jesus Christ. The wounds of Jesus are his glories, his jewels, his sacred ornaments. For to the eye of the believer, Jesus is passing fair because he is white and ruddy, white with innocence, sinless, pure, holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, couldn't sin, wouldn't sin, because he was able not to sin, and would not sin. Ruddy with his own precious blood. His own precious blood. We see him as the lily of matchless purity, and as a rose crimsoned with his own gore. And there never was such a matchless Christ as he that did hang upon the middle tree. And there we beheld all his beauties and perfection, all his attributes developed, all his love drawn out, all his character expressed. Beloved, the wounds of the Lord Jesus Christ are far more fair in our eyes than all the splendor and pomp of kings. That thorny crown is far more than an imperial diadem. It is true that he bears not now the scepter of reed, but there was a glory in it. There was a glory in it that never flashed from scepter of gold, for Jesus wears the appearance of a lamb slain, a slain lamb, as his court dress, in which he wooed our souls and redeemed us to God by his precious blood. Redeemed us by his great and full atonement. And nor are these only the ornaments of Christ, that is his wounds, but they are also the trophies. They are the trophies of his love and of his victory. He has divided the spoil with the strong. He has redeemed for himself a great multitude. A great multitude of whom no man can number. And therefore these are the scars, the memorials of the fight. And so if Christ thus loves to retain the thought of his sufferings for his people, how precious then should his wounds be to us? Lo, in the midst of the throne stood a lamb as it had been slain. And so is the lamb's possession. Is central in heaven, and the Lamb of God is all the glory in Emmanuel's Lamb. Therefore, this should be the pattern here on earth. Here on earth. According to God's will, that the preaching of Christ is central, that the focus is upon the Lamb and not on man. And so the emphasis ought to be placed upon the bloody sacrifice. You know, it comes to memory. Remember what young Isaac said. To Abraham. Where is the lamb? Abraham obviously seen to it that young Isaac was instructed and taught regarding true worship, that the Lamb of God is central, that the Lamb is essential for a sacrifice, for sins, for without shedding of blood is no remission, is no forgiveness. And therefore, what was the Lord teaching the disciples? As many call it the Lord's Prayer, but really it was the disciples' prayer, because the Lord was teaching the disciples, "Thy will be done. Thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth." As in heaven, so in earth. And therefore we desire days of heaven upon earth, when the focus is upon the Lamb and not on man. There is also, the Lamb's power. "And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth." You see, he has perfect power to execute all the will of God, and perfect wisdom to understand it and to do it in the most effectual manner. Having seven horns. It's very unusual for a lamb to have horns. Very unusual. and especially 7. And so we must note that the book of Revelation is full of symbolic language. And therefore these horns are expressive of the power of Christ, of his dominion and government, of his kingly power and authority. So kings are signified by horns. And we see this in Daniel chapter 8, verse 20. Again, you don't have to turn to it for time's sake, but it says this: The ram which thou sawest having 2 horns are the kings of Media and of Persia. And so Christ himself, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, is called the Horn of David, the Horn of Salvation. There will I make him Horn of David to God. And so Christ is the Horn of Salvation which God has raised up and made to bud in the house of his servant David, and signifies. And so it signifies that upon his resurrection from the dead and his ascension into heaven, he was made and declared Lord and Christ. And so the number 7. The number 7 expresses the fullness and perfection of his power and authority, having as mediator, as the only mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And so as mediator, all power in heaven and earth given him. And what is above all power, might, dominion, and every name in this world and that to come. He is the Lord of glory, power, and authority. And therefore, we see a scene of the greatest glory. The Lord Jesus Christ. He appears in heaven because of the success of his sufferings, the accomplishment of redemption. He rules and reigns, the one who is seated at the right hand of the majesty on high, who reigns and rules over all things in behalf of his people as the God-man, where he intercedes for and reigns over all things in behalf of his people, and is coming again to judge the world at the last day. And therefore, whether thrones or dominions, or principalities or powers, all things have been created through him and unto him, and he is before all things, and in him all things consist, and he is the head of the body, the church, purchased with his own blood. And so, he who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things, as our young brother quoted it in the prayer meeting, that he might have the preeminence in all things. For it was the good pleasure of the Father. That in him should all the fullness dwell, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Through him, I say, whether things upon the earth or things in the heavens. And so such is the Lamb, and he came and took Verse 7, and he came and took the book out of the right hand of him and sat upon the throne. You see, the Apostle John sees him take the book. He sees him take the book and keep it. And keep it. For he has opened up that way. He has opened up a way. My friend, a way back to God. A way of peace and reconciliation. A way to be right with God. He has opened up that way. It is his as the Son, in whom dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. His by right of the victory he has won. His is the firstborn of all creation and the head of his church. It is his to keep and to unfold and to execute, who is over all, God blessed forever. And so there is finally, and our time's gone as usual, thirdly, there is the Lamb's praise. The Lamb's praise. You see, the Lamb is the focus of all praise. He's the focus of all praise. The praise of heaven centers upon him. He is worthy of all praise, and to him is all praise given. He is the object of their worship. The object of their worship, the ever eternal, everlasting God. Look at verse 9. Verse 9, what does it say? And they sung a new song. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book, and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And so he is the theme of the songs of all the redeemed. Of all the redeemed and holy angels. The Lord Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, is altogether ours and ours forever. And so all the offices of Christ, all the offices of Christ are held on our behalf. On our behalf. He is King for us. He is priest for us. And he is prophet for us. And so in this new song, they acknowledge the infinite fitness and worthiness of the Lord Jesus Christ for this great work of opening and executing the counsels and purposes of God. Thou art worthy. Thou art worthy. And so the grounds and reasons of this worthiness, and though they do not exclude the dignity of his person as God, without which he had not been sufficient for it, yet they chiefly insist upon the merits of his sufferings which he endured for those he came to save. For those he came to save. A people like you and me. A people like you and me. Thou wast slain. Slain as a sacrifice. Thy blood was shed. And so the fruits of his sufferings, every blood-bought child of God, every man, woman, boy and girl who is redeemed, we are the fruits of his sufferings of his suffering. The redemption of God. Redemption by the blood. For Christ has redeemed his people from the bondage of sin, guilt, and Satan, redeemed them to God, set them at liberty to serve him and to enjoy him forever. Forever. And he hath put a new song. What is that new song? Redemption. Redemption. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. And so he has put a new song in your mouth, child of God. He's put a new song in your mouth. But there are some in this meeting and he hasn't put a new song in your mouth, because you're not saved. You're yet not redeemed. You're still a child of the devil. You're still in the broad way that leadeth to destruction. Oh, my friend, are you washed? Washed in the blood of the Lamb. My friend, if you're not saved, behold him now. Behold him now. Even this very moment. On this Sunday afternoon in Londonderry Free Presbyterian Church, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Repent and believe the gospel. Leave the deadness of sin. Embrace his grace as he's freely offered to you. And trust him. Rest on him. Receive him. Behold him now. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world.